Welcome back to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold here with you today, and I have in studio Tim Jeffrey on. He's written a book called Saying Yes to God, How to Keep in Step with the Spirit. One of the things I love about this book, it's really written to help maturing Christians better recognize the voice of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think we all need extra help recognizing that, and I appreciate you coming into the studio today. Tim, welcome. Now, this is not your first book.
No.
You ambitious person.
Thank you. That's my fourth book. First book was a book you'll never want to read. People use it for book stuff. It's my dissertation.
Oh, no. No one wants to read that.
No. I think that's leave that in the library.
Yeah.
The other three, though, are very practical books. First one, Spirit-Led Leader, written for leaders who want to integrate their spiritual life with their leadership. Next one's One Step at a Time, Pilgrim's Guide to Spirit-Led Living. Mm-hmm. That one was written after my family and I walked 500 miles across northern Spain.
Wow.
On the Camino.
Wow.
Very cool experience, actually.
Yeah. How long did it take you?
37 days.
Okay.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was on sabbatical, finishing one job. I did this long journey, and it was very transformative for me.
Uh-huh. Now, this book is called Saying Yes to God, and if we're going to be mature Christians, hopefully by now we have said yes to God, but obviously there is something that we also need to be learning about how to be better led by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about that. What would you say some of the most important steps are in terms of being in step with the Spirit?
Well, let me say first that this book is written for people who will say, yes, I've already said yes to God, but they're honest enough or they're mature enough to realize that even though they've said yes, sometimes their yes turns into kind of a maybe I'll see or let's...
If
it's convenient, exactly. Uh-huh. Or, I mean, and my own experience bears this out as well, sometimes I really want to say yes, but it seems too hard. Or I feel stuck. I don't know how to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And so this book comes out of many years, over 10 years of working with spiritual life coaching clients.
Mm-hmm.
And my teaching overseas and my own personal spiritual journey. And what do you do when you're sort of at a wall and you want to go forward? You want to say yes in a bigger way, full way, but you're just not sure how to do that.
Okay, Tim, let's just say for starters, I feel overwhelmed, I'm tired, and I'm really distracted. So why should I be saying yes? And is that voice I'm hearing from God or is it a voice I'm hearing from someone else?
Excellent question.
I got more of them coming.
Okay,
just
good,
so
good.
You know.
Yeah, well, this is what makes it interesting.
Okay,
I love
good.
The good questions.
Good.
The most important thing, I think, in related to saying yes to God is actually listening to God.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be able to listen to God, we have to develop disciplines in our lives to step back to get to a place where we can listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm driving down here in the midst of traffic and I'm trying to pray, I can't even pray because I'm thinking about, am I going to get here on time?
Yes.
Who's going to run into me? And what's the best route?
Right.
And I realize, wait a minute, I need to have enough space where I can calm down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so listening is the number one most important thing in a discernment process. And saying you can't say yes to God until you have discerned what is His voice, what is somebody else's voice, what's your own voice.
Okay, what would be the most common places to hear God's voice? Obviously, I go to God's Word, and
right.
I sometimes go, maybe this is what God is leading me to. I've been studying this Word, I've been meditating on it, and it resonates in my heart. Is that the best place to be hearing God's Word?
I think that's the number one best place.
Okay.
Through Scripture.
Okay,
and yet it's not the only way, and not everybody finds that when they open up Scripture that God speaks to them through the Word. I do think it's the best way. And so a mature Christian, you know, but at this point, has already discovered a number of ways or number of venues in which they can likely hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It could be worship,
yep.
Singing,
yep.
Going for a walk out in nature. I sometimes hear God's voice at the movies. Now, that sounds very unspiritual, but the point is, and this is the critical piece, I have to be open. When I'm open to God's voice, that means I'm looking and listening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as you said, Scripture is the number one way,
mm-hmm.
probably the most reliable way. But my experience has taught me that if I'm genuinely open and I'm praying, God, speak to me. God, show me what I need to see. God does that mm-hmm. in many different ways.
I'm just trying to figure out how to take it to the next place. I can say I'm open to being outside, but I haven't left my house in 30 days. So, I mean, how do we get to that point where we get the next step, where we can actually take that step of action?
Well, again,
I'm fascinated by this, Tim, this whole idea of listening and trying to be open to God's leading. I think we're all interested in that. We all want more of that. But sometimes not being distracted or actually hearing God's voice is where we struggle.
Yeah, I think that is right. And that's why spiritual practice and spiritual disciplines are important to create a structure to support us for spiritual growth. We don't grow stronger just by saying, hey, I want to be stronger.
Right.
Yeah, and then
right.
hope something different happens.
Exactly.
So that's what we
thank you
we
for being the voice of reason here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about discernment. That's a big chapter in your book, and that's something I'm very interested in. And give me your take on discernment.
Discernment is really about deciding, determining whose voice is speaking in your head. And what it is that, how reliable that voice is, and what you're going to do about it. And so a discernment process becomes critical.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us needs to find ways to get input related to the spiritual life, relating to the voice of God, that will help us to make a good decision. And that's going to include talking to people, reading scripture, praying, journaling. It could be writing pros and cons. There's a lot of different things we do, but a process is important. Because at the end of this process, we want to be at a place where we can reasonably say, I think this is a spirit-led decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step of faith always in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be reasons why I am making that step of faith.
Is God very interested in telling us his will for our lives, or is God more interested in going about doing his will in our lives?
Well, I'm very nervous whenever anybody asks me to speak for God directly.
I get it. But I asked that question real close to the break, so
yeah.
You can bail on me quickly if you need to.
Okay. I think what God's most interested, more than giving us an answer to our questions, God, mm-hmm. what do I do?
Yes.
Is to change us and to draw us closer to him and to develop us into more of the person he wants us to be.
Okay.
That's God's priority as far as I can tell.
Yeah, so the pursuit of personal holiness is something we should always be working towards and on and making that our highest priority?
Well,
perhaps.
Again, I wouldn't word it like that.
Okay.
I'd say holiness is important, mm-hmm. but I'd say the relationship with God is the most important part. Holiness would be a byproduct.
Yes, of course. That's better said. That's why you're the expert and I'm just the host here in the studio. All right, we're going to take a little break when we come back. More with Tim Jeffrion. He's written a book, his fourth book, called Saying Yes to God, How to Keep in Step with the Spirit. It's a fascinating book, and we'll be back with him in just a minute. So glad to have you with us this morning. If you're listening, you are already fascinated by the conversation I'm having with Tim Jeffrion. He's written a book called Saying Yes to God, Keeping in Step with the Spirit, and we're back talking about committing to yes. That's saying yes to God. So how do we commit to yes, and what does that mean?
That chapter was really sparked by a relationship I had with a guy who was a longtime banker, very successful,
mm-hmm.
made lots of money, but felt like God was calling him mid-career to switch and to go back to seminary and maybe to become a minister.
Okay.
Well, he explored that question week after week, month after month, months turned into years, going over and over again. Finally, actually, one of my friends said to him, Bill, and he allows me to use his name. He
mm-hmm.
said, Bill, just make a decision. Just go for it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is so clearly what God wants you to do. And he finally then made a decision. And now 10 years later, he says, that's the best decision I ever made. But he had to commit to it. So when we're talking about discerning God's will, listening and cooperating, those are the key concepts of the book, listening and cooperating with God. At some point, you have to say yes and go for it.
Mm-hmm. But do people sit around waiting for God's call in their life and being unwilling to take steps towards things? Is that part of where we suffer?
I think sometimes. I think in Bill's case, I think he really was called.
Okay.
And just was reluctant to pull the trigger. Other people are looking for something magical or special.
Yeah.
and one of the things I emphasize in the book, because it comes out of my own experience, is we need to scale back our expectations of what it means to follow God to the daily, God, what are you calling me to do today?
Mm.
I've got my agenda. I have my schedule. I know who I'm going to meet. But how do you want to use me today? Like the Good Samaritan. He was doing his normal business on that
yes.
day. But he was ready to respond to the opportunity God gave him in that day. There was mm-hmm. no master plan mm-hmm. except to be ready and available.
It seems like a lot of the things Jesus was involved with were interruptions to his day, so to speak, on his way to something when, you know, the woman who had the bleeding issue of 12 years
yes.
grabs his robe and says, who touched me?
Yeah.
My power went out.
Yeah.
He was on his way to doing something. So I think your point's really quite important to be reminding everyone, God, what do you have for me to do today?
That's right.
So that's part of the big picture as well, isn't it?
One of the prayers that has become very meaningful to me that I created years ago is, Lord, I pray, Lord, help me to live fully, to love deeply, and to give freely
mm-hmm.
so that others I meet today will know and experience you through me. And it's just become a simple way of orienting my mind and heart every morning when I say that prayer, just like, oh, yeah, I'm here to live fully, not to close in on myself. I'm here to love deeply. And then to be ready to give to others and not just become or continue to be so
yeah.
self-absorbed as I am by nature.
You've just given me a new idea for a tattoo.
Okay, great.
That's a long one, though.
Yeah, what color are you going
to
use?
To save up for it. let's talk about taking sin and grace seriously, something we all need to do as
yeah.
mature Christians, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as a spiritual life coach and as a glass half full guy,
mm-hmm.
I just assume focus on all possibilities.
Okay.
Like what can happen? What, all the good things that can happen, and let's minimize the negative. And I've come to learn over the years that that's a really good approach, I think, generally to life. But we have to recognize what we're up against and where we might run into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that chapter was really inspired by a number of individuals that I've met along the way who have shared with me some very heartbreaking stories of making some choices that we would call sin from a Christian perspective that have been devastating
mm-hmm.
to them in terms of their own relationships, their own inside of themselves, producing guilt and shame. And it's tragic. It's really tragic. So take it seriously just means what I mean by that is recognize that sin is not just on somebody's no-no list,
mm-hmm.
so I guess we shouldn't do it. It's actually a destructive force that you are the first one who's going to likely be destroyed
right.
by participating.
Right.
But there will be others as well.
Yes, collateral damage.
Exactly.
Yep.
Take it seriously. And so no matter how much you depend upon God and God's love and grace, which is the foundation for our faith, sin still will destroy you.
Mm.
So take that seriously.
Yeah.
The second half of that is, and take grace seriously. For those of us, and I'm sure that pretty much is 100% of us.
Yes, it is.
Have fallen into sin in some way or another, or sin, or have done something that we regret. That's not the end of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
By God's grace, we still can get up again. And we don't just necessarily bounce up and say, oh, well, I guess that was no big deal. No,
mm-hmm.
it was a big deal. But with God, there's always hope for a restart,
mm-hmm.
a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by saying take grace seriously, that even if you've made some major mistakes in your life, some real big failures, and you're feeling a lot of guilt and shame, doesn't need to be the end for you. By God's grace, you can stand up again, and God still has things for you to do. That's the nature of God's love and how God works in the world. And so spirit-led living is what leads us along God's path. And if God calls us to something, it's God's purposes who are going to be served, and it's God who makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can sit down and write or speak, and I can say, I can do this with confidence, but not just out of my humanness, but because God's called me to it, or God's given me a gift, and I'm just exercising what he's given me to use, and I trust at the end of the day that what I say or what I write is what God wants, and that God will use it for good.
Okay, Tim, let me ask you this, just a couple minutes left. When we need help, and it's difficult to ask for help, how do we get around that? Because sometimes that's the very most important thing to do is ask for help.
Yeah, that's right. But again, that's linked to what we just were talking about a minute ago. One of the reasons we don't ask for help is pride,
mm-hmm.
or we're shy, or we're self-conscious. But again, what am I really saying when I admit that? I'm saying I'm concerned about me and what people think of me.
Mm-hmm. We're obsessed about that, though.
We are. We seem to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're
more
very
than we should be.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so saying yes to God for the maturing Christian is about not only going past that initial stage where, yeah, I'm for God. Mm-hmm. But now it's like I realize, yeah, I said I was for God, but gee, I'm a lot still for me.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the place where I say, yes, I see that more, but I'm going to keep relinquishing that more and more.
Yeah.
And so asking for help is a way of saying, I'm here to serve God's purposes, and I see that I'm stuck. And so I'm going to say yes to asking for help because I'm saying yes to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and yes, I'm uncomfortable asking for help, but this is not about me. This is about the mission that God's given me to do.
Yeah. Do we do a lot of self-sabotaging?
You have to speak for yourself, Bill.
I will speak for myself. Yeah, sure. I shoot myself in the foot plenty of times.
But I would say, yes, I think we do.
Yeah.
Most of us do.
Zing. All right. I've been looking forward to not having you back.
yes. No, we do self-sabotage.
Yeah.
But again, take sin and grace seriously. Point of being more self-aware is so that you know what to pray about. It's not to condemn yourself, put yourself down, because all of that guilt and shame and self-pity and self-denigration ultimately can lead to inaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a no to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be, we're self-aware so that we know what to pray about and also what to just clear away and say, God, I just don't want to be controlled by those mm-hmm. things. Because at the end of the day, I want to say yes to you.
Now, your book, Saying Yes to God, How to Keep in Step with the Spirit, is out, and the best place to get a copy of this book is you can always go to Amazon.com.
Right. It's on Amazon
it's
now.
Right there. The publisher also has a way of getting it where you can save a few dollars.
Yeah, 20%.
20%. So, and you go to withandstock.com. And your website is fhlglobal.org?
Correct.
And you can find more about Tim's writings there and get a sample of the book if you want to give it a look over. But it's a fascinating book, and it gives you a chance to, as a mature Christian, to better recognize the voice of God. And if you're like me, and I know I am, I always want to be doing that. Tim, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Bill. It was a real pleasure.